Look at Hosea, chapter 13. We're going to read verse 9. Hosea is the first of the minor prophets. It's right after Daniel. Daniel's right after Ezekiel. Ezekiel's right after Lamentations. Just get to Matthew and turn left. Hosea chapter 13, verse 9. God speaking, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help.
Amen.
Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. We might be able to say that about America.
Amen.
There was a lot of promise and a lot of potential and a lot of imagination about where this country might go, and yet something's gone wrong somewhere. I think, how is it possible? How is it possible that a nation should be preaching righteousness and standing for what is good and right and wholesome has all kinds of trash going around?
Amen.
And laws being passed and things happening that we say, this just can't be. And God, of course, is talking to Hosea and says, well, you've destroyed yourself.
Amen.
I'm really not going to dwell upon America's problems. Definitely America has some problems. And this would fit very well to deal with that, because this is Jesus, this is God speaking to Israel as a nation in a collective sense, speaking to them as something that they had lost and that they could have had something better and that they threw it away. But I do want to apply this to us personally in several ways. I'm going to bring 4 points here, and you can see if you can follow them with me. The 4 points that I want to bring out is, first, the root of the problem, and that is yourself.
Amen.
The second, of course, is the extent of the need, and that is, you've destroyed yourself. You need more than just a little help.
Amen.
And then the third, of course, is the response of the hope, and that is that there is hope. There's
Amen.
Something to be hoped for. And then, of course, the meaning of the call, the fact that God is the one who makes this initiative and talks to Israel, and calls, and He also calls us. So I'm going to deal with those things in order. But first, let's acknowledge the Lord and ask for His help. Lord, I ask You to bless the words this morning, Lord, the words that come out of Your book. We don't want to preach our ideas. We don't want to preach our imaginations or things that we think or we feel. What we want to do is make Your Word clear and explain the Gospel clear and explain Your heart for us. Clear, Lord, we want it to be clear. And if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Savior, Lord, well, we ask You to touch their heart this morning and not let them have any rest or peace until they have made that decision to take up their cross and follow You. And we ask You this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. First of all, we got to deal with the root of the problem. You've destroyed yourself. Now, I want you to know that there are many things that can explain bad things happening. And bad things do happen. And the first, of course, we'll just say is chance. Sometimes bad things happen. Now, I know some of you want to be consistent in your theology, and you say, well, an almighty God doesn't leave any room for chance. Okay, but I'm just quoting the Scripture. The Bible says time and chance happeneth to them all. So, sometimes things don't have any meaning at all. Sometimes if you trip on something on the sidewalk, it doesn't mean you were, sinning or something. No, it just doesn't mean anything at all. Sometimes you have to just accept the fact that things happen to all kinds of people for no reason whatsoever. So you might have had some bad things happen in your life, and some bad things might happen in your future that really have no meaning. You say, well, I don't know about that. In fact, I got almost no amens on that, which is fine. I don't mind being the only one who knows the truth about things. You guys can catch up later. I don't mind that. You know what Jesus said? He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. So if that doesn't fit in with your idea of an almighty God, I'm sorry. It blows where it listeth. It didn't say God sends the wind where He wants it to go. Says it blows where it listeth. So sometimes things just happen. And you can't be a complainer so that every time something happens to you, you say, why does it always happen to
Amen.
Me? Don't be
Amen.
Foolish. It happens to everybody.
Amen.
Things just happen sometimes. However, there are some evil people in the world, and sometimes people do you wrong. Sometimes people actually get in the way and cause damage. In fact, there are some people who are so evil, they do a whole lot of very bad things and have caused a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Amen.
Happens all the time. We have leaders that make very foolish decisions and cause horrible heartaches to happen to their nations. It happens. You can get a bad leader. You get a bad coach and your football team's liable to lose. Things can happen. You can make a boneheaded mistake and cause your company to fail. You might lose your job because of it. Something can happen because somebody might lie on you. Somebody might tell a dirty lie about you and it might cost you your job. Bad things happen because bad people do bad things. Yeah, there are bad people that do bad things. In fact, you've probably been a bad person
Amen.
Once in a while and done a few
Amen.
Bad things yourself. And maybe you've caused problems for other people.
Mercy, Lord.
So sometimes some bad things happen because bad people do them. There's also such a thing as punishment.
Amen.
Did you know that God is going to punish evil?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God is going to punish the wicked. The Bible says so many, many times. He is going to come and He's going to exact vengeance. He even calls it vengeance. He says, for you not to have vengeance, but not because vengeance is bad. He says, you don't have your vengeance because I will repay.
That's what it says. Amen.
Now some of you think, well, no, just vengeance, that's just a bad idea. No, God says, I'm going to repay. He says, vengeance is mine. That's why you're not supposed to repay, because He says, it's mine. And because you also are a sinner, so you better watch out.
Amen.
But none of these is what He's talking about here. Yes, bad things just happen sometimes. You know, you can tell sometimes, in fact, it makes it pretty clear, you need to make sure you understand this, not everything bad that happens is punishment.
Amen.
I mean, I remember a preacher saying that Katrina was God's judgment on New Orleans because, you know, they have gambling over there or something. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but or because they're known for their Mardi Gras or I don't know what it is. But a preacher actually said that Katrina was God's judgment on New Orleans. Let me tell you something about God's judgment. God tells you His judgment in advance.
That's right.
If He didn't say it in advance, well, then you don't have the right to proclaim it afterwards. Otherwise, just everybody would have the right to say everything that happens, I can proclaim that's because of you. And you will find that in some churches, something bad happens, you'll get a little prophet, or more often a prophetess, that will say, you did this, you must have done this, or you did that, or I perceive by the Spirit that you must have done this. Or listen, that's just like Job's friends. Job's friends had no business telling him what he had done to get all these bad things to happen to him. Judgment, when it comes from God, God gives you the warning beforehand. And every time in the Bible, that's what happens. Judgment comes, He says, this is what's going to happen. He tells His prophets beforehand. That's when you know it's judgment. If He doesn't tell them beforehand, you just can't say anything. You can't say that it is. You don't know.
Amen.
There is such a thing as consequences.
That's right.
Amen.
And this is what He's talking about here. You have destroyed yourself.
Amen.
You've done a bunch of dumb, boneheaded things that has caused you the problems you have. You're the problem.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you haven't had all kinds of help destroying yourself. You might have had a lot of bad, bad luck. And you can tell when something, you know, not every bad thing that happens is consequences for your sin also. I ought to remind you that. If there's consequences, it has something to do with the sin. They're related. For example, if you drink all your life and then you wind up with cirrhosis of the liver, you can say, hello,
yeah,
you destroyed yourself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can't just say, well, you know, I've got you know, weak liver genes. Right? You have to admit, okay, I have destroyed myself. But there's a relationship. Now, if you've been drinking all your life and you live a long, long time and you're healthy and all that sort of stuff, well, what are you going to say? Well, that just proves that liquor is healthy. No, you can't say that. So you have to be careful when you start making judgments on this. However, you can make some judgments about yourself.
Amen.
You don't need to be pointing the finger at everybody else, and I'm sorry if I point the finger and that offends you. I don't mean to offend you by pointing the finger.
Amen.
It's not my purpose. It just happens, okay? Sorry. I think I'm a gunslinger. All right. You're the root of your problems. You got an awful lot of problems that can be traced right back to your decision.
Amen.
You got an awful lot of things in your life that you're going to have to say, I did that.
Yes, sir.
I was the one that messed up there.
Amen.
In fact, you probably ought to look back at your life once in a while and just see how many times you messed up.
Amen.
You
yes,
did it. That was your mistake. That was what you did wrong. Stop being so proud of all the things you've done right, if
Amen.
There is that many. And start recognizing that you've done some things that were wrong and that not only have hurt yourself, but have hurt other people too.
Amen.
You see, you can't hurt yourself without hurting your children.
Amen.
In fact, you can't hurt yourself without hurting your parents.
Amen.
Amen.
Parents suffer when their children are drug addicts.
Amen.
So do children, but parents also. And brothers and sisters and even the church suffers. Even your boss suffers. I remember Dale told me one time he had a restaurant business in Saltillo, and it was going great. He had this one manager, he was the great manager, but then he'd go off on a drinking binge, and he'd be gone for 3 months, and his business would go out. Well, you know something? By being a drunk, he cost somebody else their business. Because Dale couldn't run a restaurant, you know, for the life of him, I guess. Whatever it was, the reason why, he would have to say, but he told me that the problem was he couldn't get that guy to just focus and hold himself going. I might have gotten that story all wrong. Forgive me, Neld, if I did. That's what I'm just trying to make this point, that sometimes you do something that hurts, and it's you that did it, and you can't blame the blame on anybody else. You are the problem. You did something that cost you. And you know what God is going to wind up showing you someday? He's not going to show you how bad everybody else treated you. He's just going to point out, did you make this decision or not? You see, you're not going to suffer because somebody else did something bad for you. Not in eternity, not when it comes to the judgment. Somebody else did something bad to you. It's a big who cares. So I realize you have suffered. I know some people have suffered racism, and some people have suffered, you know, being stolen from. I imagine if I asked some people to raise their hands, so everybody here would raise their hand and say, I've been stolen from. You've been stolen from. How about if it was so bad, I heard about a guy, and I've got the story I'm sure all wrong, but he had done all kinds of things, and he was just putting his life back together, and he was going to pay off a debt, whatever, and they stole it from him. So he lost his house, and he lost everything. He says, it's not fair, they stole it from me, whatever. That's not what we're talking about. Stop worrying about what everybody else has done to you. Stop worrying about what God is punishing you about. Stop worrying about all that other stuff and the bad stuff that happens and all the bad luck and oh my, what about the decisions you've made that have cost you?
Amen.
Because really, that's really the only thing you can do anything about.
Amen. Amen.
I've done a lot of counseling, marriages and brothers and sisters that can't get along and things of that nature, and it always comes back to pointing the finger at the other person.
Yeah.
And they always want to come to me and they want to say, you don't know how many times I've had it happen where they come to me and they want to say, well, that man did this and that man did that. And if you listen to them, you come away thinking that man is a no account, whatever. And how many times it's turned out that, you know, I didn't get the whole picture from that one side of the equation. And so I had to realize that there's something wrong here. And I realized that you can't get anywhere that way. So you know what I do now? If you come to me and you start telling me about how bad somebody is or how what they're saying, I'll always turn it around on you and say, what did you do wrong?
Yeah.
Don't tell me what he did wrong. What did you do wrong? Because you can't fix him. But you could fix you.
Amen.
You probably can't even fix you, but but at least you have a better shot of fixing you than you have of fixing him.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Why don't you point the finger at yourself and say, here's what I did wrong. Somebody says, man, I lost my job because of this and because of that and because of the other thing. Well, what did you learn from it?
Amen.
What did you do wrong? What can you change? But don't you understand? It's bad. Everything happens. No. I understand. I understand bad things happen. What did you do wrong? You get the idea, right? His whole point is God is saying, Israel, you destroyed yourself. And I want you to know that Israel wasn't destroyed at that time. This brings us to our second point. Just how bad is the need? You've destroyed yourself. Israel, this was written in Hosea's time. Hosea is contemporary with the king Hezekiah. That was the end of his prophecy. King Hezekiah was more than a generation before the Assyrian kings took over the northern country of Israel. So we're looking at a generation or more before Assyria takes over Israel. Israel's still alive and well. Israel still has an army. They still have a king. They still have their chariots. They still have Samaria. There's the image in Gilgal. They're still sacrificing to the idols. They're still doing it. And God is pleading with Israel, and He's saying, you've destroyed yourself. All through this book, you'll find out what God is saying. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. It's going to be bad. But here He says, you've destroyed yourself. What you don't realize is that the decisions you make in your life have the tendency to destroy you on the inside before it shows on the outside.
Amen.
Sin is a huge problem on the inside.
Amen.
Before you get the consequences of the outside.
That's right.
I used to preach out on the streets the message over there where it says in Galatians that a man reaps what he sows.
Yes. Amen.
And I made through, I would make three simple points, you know. You reap the same thing you sow. You reap after you sow. And you reap more than you sow. And have you ever heard people complain, you know, or actually I've heard people brag that it doesn't affect me. I've had young people say, no, I can do drugs and it doesn't affect me. I still have my job. I still have my girlfriend. I still have all this other stuff. I'm okay. I still have my mind. Yeah, but it doesn't happen the next day. You don't sow a seed on one day and go and expect to get the fruit the next day. You have to wait for a while. And that's the point. You have something that you're doing that is destroying you on the inside, and it hasn't destroyed you on the outside yet. So you say, I'm okay. I still feel good.
Amen. That's right.
I realize that there are other people that are in trouble, but I'm okay. You see, what you don't understand is you've destroyed yourself by the decisions you make right now and in your youth. And let me tell you something. If you've made a lot of foolish decisions in your youth and now you're old, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're not in the gutter yet. But God is talking about what He sees on the inside. He's talking about the decisions you're making. He's talking about the favor that He would have showed you in His heart that He would give you and the things that He had planned for you. And now He looks at you and He says, you're useless. I can't use you. I can't teach you. I can't bring you along. I can't even carry you on my back.
Amen.
Why? You've destroyed yourself. The extent of the problem. If you want to look at America, you want to see what has happened and the decisions that people have made, and they've decided to go against God over and over and over again. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what the preachers have preached for thousands of years. It doesn't matter. We're going to go against it. That's where America is. And what they don't realize is, yeah, you're still okay. Everything's still fine. You're still free. But God is saying, you've destroyed yourself.
Yes.
You've cut the foundations off. You've cut the legs off at the knees. You've got nothing left. The canker worm is eating it as we speak. It's eating it away. Your house has termites. So bad you can hear them eating at night. It's bad. It's bad, you see, because you have destroyed yourself. The extent of the need is deep. It's immense. You don't realize how bad sin tears you apart.
Amen.
Did you know that sin is self-destructive?
Yep.
Amen.
Did you know that sin is progressive?
Amen.
Did you know that sin is addictive?
Yes, amen.
Did you have a clue?
Amen.
You see, you think I can just get away with a little bit of pornography. I don't watch any deep pornography, just a little bit. But did you know that pornography is progressive and addictive? And then after a while, that little bit of pornography won't satisfy you, but you'll have a deep hunger for something more.
Amen.
And something deeper and something filthier and something worse. And then after a while, you find yourself into the worst of it. Happens all the time. People confess it all the time. If you've ever stepped into that junk at all a little bit, and I have, I tell you, if you know what I'm talking about, it's progressive, it's addictive, and it's self-destructive.
Amen.
You don't even realize it, but you're ruining your marriage.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not married.
Amen.
That's right. You're not married, but you're ruining your marriage.
Yes, you are.
Way in the future, you're ruining your marriage. You're ruining it. You don't realize what you're doing to your mind. Your mind is changing as you do those things.
Amen.
Fornication, covetousness,
amen.
Pride,
amen.
Gambling, greed.
Amen.
Sin has a way of doing a whole lot secret damage before it does any outward damage. It's like these viruses that get in and they multiply and they multiply and they multiply before giving any symptom. And not only do they multiply, they infect others before you've ever gotten a symptom. Those are the worst kinds of diseases. They're the worst kinds because you've already spread it to a whole lot of other people before any symptoms show up. These things happen all the time. In the physical world, in our biological systems, it happens all the time. There are diseases that don't show their symptoms until you've already been contagious for days. And that's the way sin is. It just pervades, it goes, and it spreads, and it's addictive, and yet you still feel good. You still feel fine. Everything's okay. But God's looking on the inside, and He says, you've destroyed yourself.
Amen.
Your conscience isn't working anymore. No tears. No brokenness. No shame. No horror.
All right.
No fear. No fear. You put it on the back of your car. No fear.
Yeah. Right.
No fear. But there's hope. He says, in me is thine help.
Thank you, Lord.
I thought you destroyed yourself. Well, yeah. And let me warn you something before I get into the hope. And the hope is a good part. This is good stuff. But before I get into the hope, let me tell you something. There are consequences of sin that God will not take off of you.
Right.
They're permanent and you never lose them.
Mercy, Lord.
You'll be scarred forever.
Amen.
Sin will eat you alive and take something away from you that you could have had and it was yours to have. It was a gift of God and you threw it away. You did it yourself because of sin, because of your decisions. You did something and you'll never, ever, ever get it back. There's no easy fix-all for a lot of your problems. There's an awful lot of problems. Let me tell you something. If you have ruined your life with drugs or drinking or adultery or gambling or prostitution or you know you name it. There's all kinds of trash out there. There's a million ways to ruin your life.
Amen.
There's a show on TV, 1,000 Ways to Die. Well, there's a million ways to ruin your life.
That's right.
There's all kinds of ways. But if you've done those kind of things and then you say, well, now the preacher's going to talk about help. What can I do to get all that back? No. You can't get all that back. It's gone.
Amen.
You threw it away. You destroyed yourself. You see, God had a plan here, and He had a solution here, and He offered it to him. In fact, if you'll read the second chapter of Hosea, you know what you'll find out? He's making a promise about a beautiful restoration in the future, and it was going to be wonderful. But I got news for you. He didn't give any of that back to these people. They had destroyed themselves. He was offering them something else. You think about that prodigal son that left and spent all of his inheritance, wasted it with whores, and wasted it on his friends, and living it up the big time until he began to have want, and then he had no friends, and then he's working and just trying to fill his belly. He's even so hungry, he's willing to eat what the hogs are eating. And he says, I'm going to go back to my dad's. And I'm going to tell him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And I'm not worthy to be called your son if you'd just make me a hired servant. And you know, when he comes back, the father gives him, he gives him a party and what have you. But he was still just a servant. He didn't get his inheritance back. When that father talked to the older son, he said, everything I have is yours. Your brother doesn't get any of it back. He lost it all. Think about what he had. Think about what he had and what he threw away because of his own foolishness, because of his own decisions. He was the problem. He was the root of the problem. He didn't know how bad he was throwing away and how much he was throwing away until it was already gone. And when he went back to his father and found mercy, he didn't get any of it back. But here comes the good part. Let me tell you something. God has answers.
Amen. Amen.
He says, you have destroyed yourself. Hey, America, you've destroyed yourself. Did you know the Bible has answers?
Yes. Amen.
You've destroyed yourself. Did you know that God has some ideas?
Yes, amen.
You know, it's over there like, I believe it's in Isaiah 65, where God says, destroy it not. There's a blessing in it. It's like that husbandman that's working in the vineyard. And there's this fig tree in that vineyard that has not produced fruit. And the Lord of the vineyard comes and says, cut down that fig tree. It hasn't produced fruit. And it's just cumbering the ground. Let's get rid of it. And that one says, wait a minute. Let me just dung it one more year. We'll get something out of it. And that is what God is saying. You have destroyed yourself. But why don't you give your life to God? What's left of it anyway? And see what he can do with it.
Amen.
Amen. I went to high school with a guy. His name was Glenn Blackwood. I probably shouldn't mention names because he actually is relatively famous. He was a defensive, I guess, a cornerback or a safety for Miami Dolphins for a long time. Him and his brother. I sat right behind him in some of our classes, and he would take a scribble. I don't know how he got this gift, but he would just take a scribble, just scribble all over. And then he'd look at it for a while. And then he'd add some lines and turn it into a beautiful picture. I don't know. I still don't know how anybody has that kind of gift, but he did. He had it. I watched him do it. It was amazing. Have you ever thought that just a scribble, a complete waste and a loss, could be turned into something beautiful? You might ought to give God a thought. You might ought to realize that God has a real ability to restore and to heal. He can make that scar tissue heal right over. And you don't get rid of the scars, but you get rid of the pain. And you make yourself useful. You get to use the limb again. You get some use out of it. You see, because God is a God of saving.
Amen.
He's a God that says, I've got some help. I got Amen. Some ideas. I can do something with you.
Amen.
I know you've thrown away a lot. I know you've lost a lot. And you probably have made enough dumb decisions that you could have already lost a whole lot more. Just by the mercy of God, He hasn't let it all fall down on your head.
Lord.
But whatever you've lost, you know what God is saying? Hey, I've got some ideas.
Amen.
I got some answers. You know, I've got a few little things that if you'd just pay attention to, you'd straighten your life right out. You would walk in joy. You'd walk in glory. You'd walk in the light. It would change your life. It'd make a difference. Why do you sit there and fight against God all the time? Why do you always angry at Him? Why do you always have to blame some? Realize what you have done to yourself and say, God, help!
Amen.
And it's not that you just need a little help. You know, that's one of the problems with religion, is they think you just need a little help. Jesus says, God here is saying, you have destroyed yourself.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't need just a little help.
Amen.
You don't need a leg up. You don't need a hand out. You need real help. And you know what God is saying? I got it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I got what will help you.
Yes. Amen.
Did it ever cross your mind that your problems that you have created for yourself would have been solved if you had listened to God?
Yes. Amen.
And that you could actually heal yourself right now if you'd start listening to God.
Amen.
If the Bible would be a little bit more of your life, and the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs would have some entrance, be able to absorb into your being, that you would have a better life.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
You might be better off.
Amen.
I almost guarantee you'd be better off.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You'd be more prosperous. You'd be better looking.
Amen.
I promise you. You'd be better looking. You'd have all kinds of things going your way if you'd give God a chance.
Amen.
Well, you've already tried. You've already done your thing. I mean, you've messed up everything pretty royal, right? You've done all kinds of mess up on your life. You've trashed yourself. You've trashed your family. You've trashed your marriage. You've trashed your job. You've trashed your career. You've trashed your mind. You've trashed your conscience. You've got nothing.
Amen. Yes,
God,
sir,
says, give it to me.
Amen.
That big nothing you got, give it to me.
Amen.
See if I can do something with it.
Yeah.
And why don't you let God do something with it?
Yes,
why,
sir,
can't God do something with what you've got? You haven't done anything special with it.
That's right.
God might have a better idea, and He might do something really good with it. He can use it. I don't know how, but He can.
Amen.
He's a genius.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There's one more thing I want to bring out, and that is the meaning of the call. You see, you didn't call God. God called you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He said, in me. He said, in me. In me is thine help. It's in me. Have you ever noticed that some people want the help, they just don't want God?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's what you get all over now. You get it on the internet, you get it on television, you get all kinds of helps. In fact, that's what church is about now. Didn't you know that? Church is a self-improvement seminar. That's what it's about. And it shouldn't be. That's never been what church is supposed to be about. Church is supposed to be about the person of Jesus Christ, what He's done for us, and how we can do something for Him if it's,
amen,
possible, and how we can maybe thank Him and worship Him.
Amen.
But a whole lot of people want all the benefits of Christianity without Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That's what's happening all over the world today. Christianity is the fastest growing religion all over the world today. And a whole lot of them, they just want the democracy. They just want the freedom. They just want to get out of from under their yoke of religion. They want something a little different because they think it'll bring them prosperity. And it will! But what good does that do?
Yes.
You don't need more money.
Amen.
You need God.
Yes. Yes.
You don't need more stuff.
Right.
You need Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, amen.
You think about how ugly it is for someone to say, yeah, I want help from God. I want Him to help me. And they pray that way all the time. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. And He says, give yourself to me. Yes. They say, no, I can't do that. It's too much.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, people want help. They want to get over their addictions.
Amen.
They just don't want to read the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. They want to be prosperous. They don't want to go to church. They want to have stuff. They don't want to tithe. What is it about people don't like church? Don't like hymns. They don't like people wagging their fingers. They don't like preachy preachers.
Amen.
I don't know why. Why do people not like church? I'll tell you why they don't like church. They don't like God.
Amen.
They don't like Jesus.
Amen.
You know why? A whole lot of people nowadays, preachers, they pray, and they pray on television and all that, but they don't say, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because a whole lot of people don't like that. I say, who cares what they like?
Amen.
You see, it's not about them, and it's not about you. It's about Him.
Amen.
And what He's saying is, and this is the meaning of the call, He says, I want to help you, but you get me along with it. You can't have the help if you don't want me.
Amen.
If you're not going to give yourself to me, then I'm not going to help you. And I'll tell you something. He's already put a whole lot of helps in His Bible that if you would just pay attention to and read and listen to and follow, you get an awful lot of help in your life.
Amen.
And then you'll die and you'll go to hell. Because just reading the Bible won't do it. You got to give yourself to Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
A whole lot of people in the New Testament were healed. Thousands. Thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people were healed. They had devils cast out of them. They had all kinds of blessings happen to them. They were just lifted up and blessed. And then, when Pilate gives them the choice, they say, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. We don't want this fella." What happened? You see, people want the healing. They just don't want the cross. They want the benefits. They just don't want the burden. There's an awful lot of people in that category. A lot of people, they want what God can offer them, and they're praying like He's a wishing well every single day.
Right.
Give me stuff, God. Give me stuff. Give me more stuff, and even bigger stuff, and better stuff, and a whole lot more of it. But I'm not going to give you not even a tenth of what you give me. And I'm not going to go to church. And I'm not going to read your Bible. And I'm not going to pray with any heart to know your will. And I'm not going to change anything in my life to follow you. Why? Because this is my life and you can't have it. That is the state of our Christianity in this generation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Everybody is willing to give God a little bit, not willing to give Him their whole life. And they're willing to give God a little bit if God gives back. The moment God stops giving back, but what if God calls you to take up your cross?
Amen.
What if He says, "I want you to suffer"? What if He says, "I want you to be a testimony, a witness"? What if He says, "I want you to be weird"?
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
What if He says, "I want you to be unpopular"? What if He says, "Follow me"? You say, "Oh man, I can't do that." Then you lose your soul.
Yep.
You lose your soul. God is not going to give you anything unless He comes along with it. You have to accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord. And you give your life to Him, what's left of it. It's a pretty good trade, if you ask me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God's offering you an awful lot.
Amen.
And when I tell you that God has answers, I'm telling you, there's some things in this life you won't get healed. You've lost them. God will give you something a whole lot better than you could have now that you can get by yourself. Yes, He'll take care of you from now on in this life. He'll make your life better if you just give Him a shot at it. But that's not where the real answer is. The real answer is this life is going to end for all of us. And then there's an eternal life coming.
Yes,
you know, the Bible says He's going to raise us up again from the dead.
Amen.
And we are going to live forever. And let me tell you what He talks about in that sense, when He talks about these big words of things that He gives, when He says, "I'm the answer, I'm the solution, in me is thine help." He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about redemption. He's talking about remission. He's talking about overcoming power.
Amen.
He's talking about salvation. He talks about eternal life. He
Amen.
Says fellowship with God.
Amen.
He says you're going to eat and sup with me and we're going to live together forever. He talks about streets of gold, yeah? He says healing for the nation.
Amen.
He talks about all kinds of wonderful things.
Yeah. Amen. Praise
it's
God.
A good trade.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Why don't you give God a chance with your life?
Amen.
You've destroyed yourself. You've really got not a whole lot to lose.
Amen.
You're basically like that thief on the cross
yes.
with your hands stuck on a piece
yes,
of wood
sir. Yes, sir.
And you're bleeding to death right in front of everybody. And what are you going to say?
Amen.
You're going to mock Jesus like that one thief?
Yes.
You're going to scorn Him? You're going to say, "Why me? It's not fair. It was my parents' fault."
Right.
Why don't you just look at Jesus and say, "Hey, Lord, remember me
yeah.
when you come in your kingdom. You got any room for me?" What gall? What gall that thief had to say, "How about me? Could I come into your kingdom?" But it's true. It's real. He takes thieves.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He takes people who destroyed themselves.
Thank you, Lord.
That thief had destroyed himself. And God took him. And you know something? There's not a lot of people that I can just say with any confidence where they are after they die. But I know where that fella is. Because
yeah.
Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Amen. Thank you.
I know he's saved.
Amen.
If God would take him, he'd take you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why don't you give God a chance with your life?
Amen.
Just somebody here says, I'm not saved and I know it, but I want to be. I just don't know what the next step is. Would you talk to me? Just raise your hand. I'll talk to you. We'll take some time after this meeting. I'd be glad to talk to you.
Amen.
If you're not saved, you know you're not saved, you want to be saved, you want to know what the next step is, just raise your hand.
Amen.
Lord, I want to ask you. You know the hearts. I do not know them. I can't see them. But you do, and your word is powerful, and I ask you to take your word all the way to the heart, touch what we can't, and I ask you not to let your word return void. Give us your best answer, Lord, and we as Christians, God, we want to live for you. We want to exalt you and worship you. We're not ashamed of you, Lord.
Amen.
We love you, and we want to thank you for saving our souls
thank
and giving
you,
us
Lord.
Eternal life. You're wonderful, and we want to let everyone know that you are. Bless us, Lord, in our plans today. We ask you to bring us back safe tonight to worship you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.